I want everybody to say four. In 4 weeks from today, we're starting a brand new campus in Simi Valley. Now, we have a campus up in Agua Dulce. We have a campus over in Woodland Hills. We have this campus. We have church on Saturday night every week in here at 6 o'clock. Same worship team, same sermon. And as you look around, look at this great crowd. Give yourselves a hand. Look at this crowd right here. Now, this is the most full service we have, but there's room at Saturday at 6. If you ever like can't get to church on Sunday, come Saturday night at 6, or move to the 9 o'clock. There's a little room at 9, but we have to create some more space, and so we have a service on Thursday nights in here as well. They run about 500-600 people. Again, it's the same sermon, but this new campus out in Simi is going to start in 4 weeks. Young Pastor Caleb Walden, who preaches for me from time to time. We're going to meet ahead of time, and it's going to be the same sermon, same topic that we do here. So it's going to be live preaching. It's not going to be a video service. It'll be a live preaching, and you might want to just think about being what's called scaffolding, where you go out and help get that campus up and running. And make a 3-month commitment or 6-month commitment, get them up and running, then come on back here, okay? Or you just make that your regular church home each and every week. That will be fine as well. Now today, we want to continue our series called Deep Water. And inside your bulletin, there's some sermon notes, an outline. I want to encourage you to take that. We're looking at stories in the Bible where we find water. The water is central to the story, but there's an element of faith. That's what we're looking at, faith and water and how that intertwines. How many of you have noticed up here on this screen, when we put the major points up, that this guy, his feet go like this? Show him what it looks like. How many of you noticed that? You've noticed that. Now, I don't know how you've noticed it, because this is the first week we've had that. But that's okay. So, anyway, I don't know who that is. I was told it was Jeff Walling, and then I was told it was Pastor Tim, and then I was told it was Joe Biden. I don't know who it is. But in your notes, I want you to take your Bible and turn to John 13. Everybody say John 13. Now you should be able to remember that. John 13. Raise up your Bibles. Let me see all your Bibles. Come on, raise your Bibles. Turn to John 13. Grab your sermon notes. I want to speak to you on this topic, again, faith and water, how they connect. The subject is washing dirty feet. Washing dirty feet. The opening scene of the movie Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks' character recalls things that his mother told him. And one of the things that he says in that opening part of that movie, the opening scene, is life is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. How many of you are familiar with that? Well, that's all the opening. There's another thing that happens in that opening scene. He's sitting on a park bench. And this woman comes up, I don't know if she's a nurse, but sits down on the bench. He's trying to give her the chocolate. I don't even know if she takes one. Now, his shoes are real dirty. It's opening scene. And of course, it has something to do with the end of the movie when he's running and doesn't stop running. Okay, you remember that part? But in this opening scene, this woman sits down. She's got on these pristine white shoes. And after he says, Mama always says, life is like a box of chocolate, he says, Mama always said, you can learn a lot about a person by looking at their shoes. You can know where they've been and where they're going. And then he points to those white shoes and he says, I wish I had shoes like that. And then he said these words, I bet you could walk all day with shoes like that. And then that woman says something to him. Do you remember what she says? She says, my feet hurt. How many of you from time to time your feet
hurt.
Be honest. Did you know your foot has 26 bones in it? It has 33 different joints, has over 100 different tendons and ligaments in it. And did you know that your feet have 250,000, that's a quarter of a million if you're counting, 250,000 sweat glands in your feet? No wonder they don't smell very well. Those of you that are, how many of you consider yourself to be kind of perceptive? Now, I know you've kind of blown that by saying you've seen that guy and you haven't seen it till today, but we'll forget about you said that. But how many of you are kind of your perceptive person? You're aware of what's going on? How many, just be honest, raise your hand. Have you ever noticed that God put your nose as far away from your feet as he possibly could? You know, God could have put your nose anywhere on your, he could have given you two noses, one on each kneecap. But he didn't do that, did he? He gave you one, and he put his, hey, you know, I need to put that nose way far away from the feet. That's what God did. Let's give it up for God. Come on, thank you, God. Okay, our text in John 13 is about dirty feet. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. They're having what's called the Last Supper. In less than 12 hours, Jesus will be hanging on a cross. But for now, Jesus and the disciples are sitting around a table or laying around a table. And the Bible says that Jesus takes a pitcher of water and he pours it into a basin. And he gets up from the table. He goes over where those disciples are. And he takes that water and he begins to wash their feet. I want you to picture that scene. Then he takes a towel that he had around his waist and he takes that towel and gets down on his knees and he wipes and cleans each of those dirty feet. Now, we want to talk about this story. I know you're familiar with the story. I want to look at it in a unique way. I don't know if you've ever been to Outback Steakhouse. They have these things called bloomin' onions. Yes. Oh my. It's like a drug, okay? Once you take one little, I'm going to try it, and you eat the whole bloomin' onion. That's why they call it blue. You eat the whole bloomin' thing. So this text, this story, there's a lot of truths to it, and what we want to do is we want to peel back the onion. We want to, it's all delicious. All of it's good. But we're going to look at this story in different layers. And layer number one, write this down if you're taking notes. The number one truth of this story is that Jesus loves you. He wants the disciples to know that he loves them. Now, John, I had you say John 13. I want you to remember John. Because John is the only gospel writer that records this story. You've got Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and you've got the Gospel of John. They all talk about what happens in the upper room, but John is the only writer who tells us this story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It takes place on a Thursday night. It is the last meal before Jesus goes to the cross. It's called the Passover meal, the meal that they ate to remember God's deliverance of the Jewish people. Little do they know that evening the significance of what Jesus is about to do. For them, it's just another Passover meal. The Bible says in John 13, we're gonna start with verse 2, we'll come back to verse 1. It says that the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted who? The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. That plot had already been played, all right? So verse 4, so he, Jesus, he gets up from the meal, takes off his outer clothing, doesn't want to get that dirty. He wraps a towel around his waist. He pours that water into a basin. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel wrapped around him. Now write this down. That was just a normal Jewish custom. That was a common custom. Nothing unusual about that. We know that because back in those days, there were no such thing as paved roads. There were also no such thing as automobiles. And so you walked everywhere on dirty roads. And the land was hilly, so you would sweat. The terrain was difficult. It's difficult today to walk over there. And it's hot, and they have these dirt paths. Your feet are sweating as you're toiling over the landscape. And somehow those feet, very common, your feet would become caked as the sweat and the dirt was baked on your feet. It became like mud. And so whenever you walked inside anybody's house, typically there would be a servant who would wash everyone's feet. This process or this custom was common. You can see it. This might surprise some of you because we're in John's gospel. You see this all the way back in the book of Genesis. I gave you four different passages. John or Genesis 18 verse 4, Genesis 19 2, Genesis 24 32, Genesis chapter 43 verse 24. Those are four different stories all the way back in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where somebody walked into somebody's house and the first thing they do is they take the water, put it in the basin and wash their feet. It's an old, old custom. But in our story, it is very unusual to me. There's no servant there to wash anybody's feet, which is okay. But what surprises me is that none of the disciples offer to wash anybody's feet. The only person that does is Jesus, the Son of the living God, gets up from that table and washes the feet of those disciples. Now the question is why? Why would Jesus do this? Here's the answer, write this down. It's just a picture of his love. He loves these guys, and he wants them to know that he loves them. And to give you more context, I want to now go back up and read verse 1. We skipped it when we started with verse 2. Go back up and look at verse 1 in your Bible. It says it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his what? He wanted to show them the full extent of his love. And so then the very next verse, verse 2, we read how the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. And with that in mind, he gets up and he washes the feet of the disciples in verse 3, 4, and 5, proving his unconditional love. Because had it been me and I'd gotten up and I was gonna wash the feet of the disciples, I'd wash his. I'd get to Judas, I'd say, this ain't going down. I ain't washing your feet. I might wash a couple others till I got over here to Peter. Nah, I ain't washing your feet. Because I know in a little bit you're going to deny me, curse and deny that you even know me three times before the rooster crows. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus washed off all the feet of all the disciples. Now, how many disciples are there in the upper room that day? 12. So how many feet? 24. Oh, you're good. Teachers are here. Now, so there's 24 feet. He washes all 24. At the end, there's only one disciple left. His name is John. When Jesus is on the cross, he looks down, he sees his mom, he sees one disciple. That disciple's name is John. So as he washes these feet, 22 of the 24 will betray him, run and hide, scared to death. Act like they don't know him, including Peter who denies him and Judas who betrays him. And yet he washed their feet anyway, expressing his love for them, even though he knew they were all going to flee. That's layer number one. Layer number two, Jesus wants to have fellowship with these guys. He wants them to be in relationship. You could put that word in there. Let's peel back the next layer of this onion. Because in the very center of this story, now look at verse 6. You might have skipped over this. The Bible says, as you read through, the Bible says in verse 6, it says that he, Jesus, came to Simon Peter. And Simon says, Lord, you gonna wash my feet? Now, Peter is not like John. John's the lovable one. Peter is obnoxious. He's loud. He's not a touchy-feely guy like John. And Peter's statement is almost a stance of defiance. You wash my feet, Lord? I don't think so. Verse 7, Jesus explains to Peter, Peter, you do not realize now what I'm about to do, but later on you will understand. We'll come back to that. Verse 8, Peter says, like a maverick, no, you shall never wash my feet. Now, stay with me. That word never there is the word never with an exclamation mark. One Bible translator said, and you can write this down, that when he says never, it's like saying never, never. It's a double never. This is like if I was going to tell you something and I say, hey, this is very, everybody say the word very. If I say to you, this is very important that you listen, and I come to you another time, I go, hey, this is very, very important that you listen. That's like even more important than very important. Very, very. So when Peter says, you shall never, what he was saying was, Lord, you will never, 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 ever wash my feet. The question is, why would Peter say that? Well, we don't know all the reasons. We can assume and kind of figure this out. Partially because you don't want someone you look up to washing your dirty feet. I mean, if I called you right now and said, come here, up here on the stage, I'm gonna wash your feet right now. You come up here, we had the camera on, your foot was up there on the screen, and I was, you would, some of you wouldn't want that. Because it would be embarrassing to you. It'd be awkward. Some of you don't even like shaking hands, let alone touching someone's filthy feet. It could have been that he just liked his dirty feet. He's a fisherman. He don't take baths. You ever have a kid growing up didn't want to take a bath? It's kind of a normal thing. Well, he was an outdoorsman. But for whatever reason, Peter says, no, Lord, you're never touching. You're never touching these toes. Write this down. Jesus raises the bar. This has nothing to do. You got to get this. It has nothing to do with washing feet. This is about the Lord wanting to have a relationship. And so Jesus said these words, unless I wash your feet, watch this, you will have no part of me. This is about you and I having a close relationship. This is about you letting me deal with everything in your life, Peter, including your dirty, stinking, sweaty feet. I think Jesus is saying, Peter, I know all your faults. I know all your weaknesses. I still love you. I still want to have a relationship with you. Your stinky feet, that's not a barrier for me and wanting to have a relationship with you. In fact, Peter, if you don't let me deal with the dirt on your foot, how will you ever let me deal with the dirt that's in your heart? And notice, you can clap at that. And notice verse 9, how quickly Peter changes his tune. He says, well then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands, my head as well. And in a moment, we see this defiant Peter saying, you will never, ever, ever touch my feet. And the next moment, he's in full submission saying, Lord, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. What changed was when he realized that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with him. He then wanted to have this relationship with Jesus. Jesus then says this in verse 10 and 11. He answered a person who has had a bath. How many of you have had a bath here today? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand if you haven't. Those of you who've had a bath today, you only need to have your feet washed. Your body's clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he, Jesus, knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone is clean. If you read through that, you understand that Jesus already knew that these 22 of the 24 feet that he was washing were going to flee and deny that they knew him or go off and hide. And yet he washed their feet anyway, saying, I know your faults. I still want you to know I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you. And so I want to urge each of you today here, don't ever forget that Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. Whatever it is that's going on in your heart right now, and no matter how much dirt you got going on, if it's just a part of your heart or if it's all of your heart that he wants to clean, you just need to know the very essence that he wants you to do right. It's all a symbol of the fact that he wants to be in relationship with you. He loves you, warts and all. He knows that you'll never have true fellowship if you're content to have the stink of the world on you. And if you understand Christ's desire to have fellowship with you, you ought to come to church each and every weekend. And when you get out of your car and as you're walking into church, you ought to be saying, Lord, today I want you to clean not just my feet, clean my hands, clean my head, clean my heart, clean my mind, clean my past, clean my present, clean my future. Lord, clean everything. That's what you ought to be saying as you come to church. Layer number 3 of this blooming onion is that we are to serve one another. Now, we talk about this anytime a person goes through this text. It's a valid layer. It's only one layer. As you're seeing, we have many. And let's read starting with verse 12. Everybody say 12. Okay, so you know where we are. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he asked, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should what? Wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. Everybody say example. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. And then he tells the story. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be what? You will be blessed if you do them. Number one, two things. Number one, follow Jesus' example as the leader of the group. The leader. He pours the water. He washes the feet. He takes the towel. He cleans and dries the feet. And he's saying, as I have done that, you need to do this. No servant, no student is greater than the teacher. And some of you, you look up to Jesus and you go, you know, I'd really like to be Jesus. Well, Jesus is saying, if you want to be like me, I'm the teacher. You want to be like me, you're going to have to learn to serve one another. A couple weeks ago, I think it was last Sunday, we asked a difficult question in church. We asked How many of you deal with pride? The whole sermon was on pride last week. This question is not quite so difficult to answer. It's an easy question. The question is, how many of you are involved serving in some ministry in this church? Do you know what you're sitting in right now? What this room is? This is the upper room. This, you're sitting in the upper room with Jesus. And Jesus is teaching us week after week after week. And he knows that in a little while we got to get up and we got to get home. Go back out into the world, to the valley. And what he's done for us is he's washed our feet. He has served us. And he set the example for us. And so I ask you, whose feet are you washing? What class are you teaching? In which way are you serving? If Jesus set the example, which he did, in which way are you following in his footsteps? Have you ever thought about being an usher, a greeter, helping out with a decision, maybe in the media department? Maybe you want to be involved in the sports ministry. Maybe you want to volunteer at the school, work over here in the nursery. That's a tough job. You could involve yourself in our Christ-powered recovery classes on Monday night. You could help on Fridays if you have time to help stuff all these bulletins that we do each and every week. There's hundreds of different ways to serve. Now, I don't want to confuse you. We're in John. Over in Luke, Luke records a the same scene. Luke doesn't tell this story that John tells, but Luke tells us, he tells us what was going on in the room before Jesus does this. And Luke records, I want to read these words to you, Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 24. There's a dispute, everybody say dispute, arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. They're in the upper room with Jesus, and they're talking about which of them is the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." Verse 26, "But you're not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules should be the one who serves. For who is greater," he asked, "the one who's at the table or the one who serves?" Not the one who's at the table, but I'm among you as one who what? Serves. That's Luke's account. And then John picks it up by saying that Jesus then got up and washed the disciples' feet. Going back to John chapter 13, our text, if you do this, Jesus says, write this down, you will be blessed in verse 17. You will be blessed. How many of you truly, sincerely long for God's blessing to be upon you? How many of you want that? Jesus is saying, if you want to be blessed, learn to serve one another. Amen? Now the last layer, this is the last, we're going to pull this thing back, this blooming text. We're going to look at another layer. This is the good stuff. Layer number four, Jesus said, you do not understand. What you do not understand now, one day you will. Stay with me on this. What I'm doing by washing your feet, you're not going to understand what I'm doing. I know right now you think you understand. He said, you don't understand, but one day you will. Verse 7 says, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will. What does he mean by this? This is critical. Jesus is telling Peter, Peter gets down on his knees and he washes those feet. He says, Peter, don't forget this moment. You, in fact, Peter, you don't even know what I'm doing right now. But one day, you will understand. The question is, what is it that Peter would understand later? Beyond knowing the full extent of Jesus' love, and beyond Peter understanding Jesus' humility in serving one another, and beyond the importance of having fellowship with Jesus, what is it that Jesus wanted Peter to know that he wouldn't understand until later? Peter would one day know that the one who knelt before him, who got down on his knees to wash his dirty, filthy, stinking feet, would one day go to a whole nother depth of humility as the Son of the living God, as the creator of the universe, as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He would humble himself and go to the cross and pour out his blood, not just to wash Peter's feet, but to wash away the iniquity of his sins. And he was telling Peter, the one who washed your feet today, I'm not just your teacher, I'm not just your friend, I'm not just your buddy. Write this down. The one who washed your feet today will one day wash your sins away. And one day, maybe a month, month and a half later, we know that Peter finally understood it, because over in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, just 40 days later, Peter stands up in the book of Acts and he says, as he's preaching, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact, that Jesus is exalted to the right hand of God. And a little bit further in verse 36, he says, and God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when Jesus finished washing those disciples' feet, he never stopped serving, because the very next day he would hang on a rough Roman cross and willingly die for you and for me. And I just want you to write this down. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. This towel and the cross, they're the same symbols, because they're both symbols of sacrifice. They both remind us of that which is dirty can be clean. Amen. They both demonstrate his love for us. They both invite us into fellowship with him. They both remind us of the love of God. They both remind us that we should love, we should serve one another. And they both remind us of how blessed we are because of the sacrifices that Jesus Christ made. I close telling you the story of H.A. Hodges. He was a brilliant young professor at Oxford University. He was a professor of philosophy, and he had studied all the great philosophers and all the world religions, and he could never put his faith fully in any of them. And the story goes that one day he was strolling down the street, and he came across an art gallery, and his attention was gripped by a simple picture in the window. It showed Jesus kneeling, washing the disciples' feet. Oh, he had read the Bible many times as a textbook. He was familiar with the story. But suddenly, the sheer meaning of that scene gripped his heart. And he thought to himself, God Almighty, Almighty God, the one who created the universe, the one who holds the stars, numbered the stars, and named the stars one by one, the God who created man and woman and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, that God humbled himself, came to this earth, left heaven to die between two thieves. And he said, if God is like that, that God shall be my God. And he surrendered his heart to Jesus. Oh, I want us to stand. I'm going to say a word of prayer before you leave. Let's all stand. How many of you glad you came to church today? You're glad? Okay. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for church today. And there's so much. I mean, we've read this story 100 times, but there's so much in it. It is different layers. I don't think Peter understood. Because just a few hours later, he cursed and denied that he even knew the Lord. But it wasn't until he saw Jesus die and he saw Jesus buried and he saw Jesus resurrect that it all dawned on him, all the things that Jesus had taught him. And I'm sure he thought back and thought to himself, I can't believe I was in the upper room and Jesus, the Lord and King and ruler and Messiah, got down on his knees and washed my feet. And he thought to himself, if he did that for me, well, I'm going to spend the rest of my life here on this earth serving others and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for someone here today that's got some warts and some stink on them and some crud. They've made a bunch of bad decisions, and maybe they're here today in church and they think God could never love someone like me. Oh, help them to see if he got down and washed Judas's feet, why he's willing to wash anyone's soul here today. The Bible makes it clear that if we come in faith and we name his name, we confess his name, and we are baptized in his name. The Bible tells us that he washes, it actually uses that word, that he washes our sins away. And so Lord, I pray if anybody here today, they're embarrassed, they just know that Jesus already knows about all our failures, he already knows about all our mistakes, and he still wants to have a relationship with us. He got down and washed Judas's feet, and to our knowledge, Judas had never repented. But he wanted Judas to know. He wanted Peter to know. He wanted all of them to know, I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you. And remember this moment, because in a few hours, I'm going to be lying on that cross, blood being poured out for the sins of the world. While the filth and the stink on your feet is nothing compared to the stink of sin that is within us. And the Lord Jesus today desires to wash those sins away. So if someone's watching, help them to text the name Jesus to the number on that screen. And for anyone who's in church here today, God, help them to just walk over through these doors. And if we're here and we only have a prayer request, we can just go through these doors. We have people here waiting to pray. But Lord, go before us as we leave here today. Help us to find ways to serve, to follow your example, knowing we will be blessed, and that we're never more like you than when we humble ourselves and serve one another. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you here next weekend. Thank you for coming.